This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome into the happy hour. We're happy because it's the last hour, especially today. Normally, we're happy. We'd be more than happy to stay on all night. And Scraby's going to attempt to actually do that. He's doing a Scraby Chronicles program following this one at 6 o'clock tonight, even though there's absolutely bubkas going on in the world of sports today. I think the highlight story for me today was this Terrell Davis story.
That was the highlight for you.
Not
the story I just got on my phone from MLB.
Why don't you share that
push
that bit of heartbreaking news?
Push notification with the subject line: "The mustache is so in," and the description: "Paul Skeens has brought the mustache back to prominence."
Paul Skeens
didn't invent the mustache, everyone. I don't know if they know.
He invented the mustache.
I don't know if they know, but he did not invent the mustache.
They're trying to get us to think he did.
Well, guess what's on, Chris?
What's that?
Guess what's on right now.
I know. Home Run Derby's getting underway shortly. If you absolutely positively have to know what's going on in this highly thrilling event, we'll probably pass along some tidbits to you here over the next hour. But, you know, the Home Run Derby doesn't do it for me. Scraby's pretty excited about it. So he'll probably be oohing and aahing in the background as we go along here in the final hour of the program.
In fact, that's how my show's going to go. Ooh.
Ah. I told you. Fireworks. That's it. Think fireworks.
I just walked right into that.
By the way, Padres All-Star game, you know, I'm just disappointed. I'm really disappointed. I'm ticked off.
Why?
As a matter of fact.
Why?
Well, first of all, I'm disappointed. You know, Fernando obviously can't play. And we don't know when Fernando's coming back, which is disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Luis Arraez had to jump out of the All-Star game. And I think that makes one wonder. Makes me wonder, anyway, just how hurt Luis Arraez has been the last month and a half.
I think you can tell
he has not been hitting like Luis Arraez.
Yep.
Just not even close. So,
I think that definitely tells you about what's going on with his thumb, because he seems like the type of guy who would love to play in the All-Star game.
Luis Arraez is down to 315 on the season. He hasn't walked in 40-something games. I mean, what? I mean, that's almost impossible.
That does seem like a lot. It does seem like a lot.
But, you know, I'm going to look him up, because that stat sounds so impossible to be true that I have to look it up. But we only know Luis Arraez this season. You know, he was with the Twins, he was with the Marlins doing his thing, but just the eye test on Luis Arraez. That's not true. He hasn't walked. What was the stat I saw that he hadn't walked in 40-something games? It's not true. He hasn't walked this month.
I was going to say, if he hadn't walked in 40 games.
Yeah, that'd be way back. No, he hasn't walked this month. He's got two RBIs this month. You know, it's been a rough go for him.
I do think his thumb is way more injured than we're giving him credit for.
He did go 3-for-4. In the ball game on Saturday night, and then did not play yesterday. But he goes, he's not going to play. So that's disappointing. And, you know, I'm concerned about Arraez coming back. But the thing that has me upset, Chris isn't happy.
Uh-oh.
Jurickson Profar is batting ninth. I take that as an affront to the kind of season that he's having.
I told you. They need someone who can hit at the bottom of the lineup,
stupid.
Chris.
They don't. And that's not... Look, you reward guys that are doing a great job by giving them a decent spot in the lineup. The only reason he's batting ninth is because there isn't a tenth. And that's just making me angry. You're making it seem to me like Jerks and Profar is only on the All-Star team kind of as an afterthought.
I don't think
And he's
that's
not
true.
On the All-Star team as an afterthought this year. He's on there as a legit contender. If it wasn't for Ohtani, he's a legit contender even for MVP of the whole league. I think that was a slap in the face by our guy, Torrey Lovello.
I'm going to play Tony Gwynn Jr. here.
Go ahead.
Come on, Chris.
No.
Come on, Chris.
No.
Come on, Chris. No, he says.
Don't even come up to me next time Arizona's in town and tell me, hey, I chummed up to our pal Torrey Lovello. He's coming on the show. I'm going to tell him to take his St. John's High School born in Santa Monica right back to Arizona with him.
If you guys weren't here with us right 4 years ago, Chris, and this is a great story, Chris randomly asked Torrey Lovello on the air if he was born in the same hospital as Chris, and Torrey was like, I don't know. But then Chris gave him the hospital. He said, yeah, I was actually born in that hospital, so they're hospital mates.
He was born in Santa Monica, as I was, and I asked him if he was born in St. John's Hospital, and he said, yes, but why are you asking?
I have an interesting thing over here.
Don't go away from this subject.
I'm trying to get away from this subject.
Batting ninth is a slap in the face of Jerks and Profar. Sorry, I'm taking it that way. And I'm going to bet you, if I can get some truth serum into Jerks and Profar between now and the next Arizona series, he's going to use that to motivate himself a little bit. I don't think he likes it.
How long did the starter, the position player, stay in the game? He's going to get an at-bat, right?
Oh, if he doesn't get an at-bat, then Torrey Lovello is going to be on terrible fire.
That would be wrong.
No, he'll get an at-bat.
Because I know that...
Starters play at least 3-4 innings. The outfield, you know, it just depends how many backups there are. They try to get everybody in.
Someone's asking on the chat, is he the lowest paid player on the All-Star team? Probably.
He's got to be.
$1 million?
Yeah, I bet you he is. Maybe they did the batting order by pay structure. I don't know.
But so he goes to the bottom because he's least paid?
Right. You're the least significant when it comes to pay, so we going to put you last.
I don't find this as offensive as you do.
I do. The worst hitter bats last.
That's not true.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's totally true. Are you kidding me?
Are we talking about just All-Star game in general or
in
all
any
of baseball?
Game. No. In any game. Yes. That's why you bat ninth when we play softball, Scraby, because you're the worst hitter.
So much to unpack on that comment. But number one, I don't bat ninth. I bat like 13th.
That's
number
right.
two, I'm not the worst hitter on the team. I'm the worst fielder on the team.
The worst hitter on the team bats ninth. Why are you arguing that fact?
Because it's the All-Star game,
and there's a lot of great hitters.
There's a okay. All right, let's go through the. We're gonna have to do this now. I'm gonna have to go look at all.
Why do you think Bryce Johnson batted ninth every game he was with the Padres?
Because
he was the best hitter on the team. No. This is an easy one, Scraby.
Don't
go argue something you have no chance of arguing.
I have backed myself into a corner, but I'm happy to do it. I am. I'm looking
every
at some of the...
Every once in a blue moon, they'll bat a speedy guy ninth and say that they're kind of giving themselves a second leadoff guy. But that's not Jerks and Profar. He should not be batting ninth.
All right, Ketel Marte. Should he be batting ahead of Ketel Marte?
Yes.
Should he be batting ahead of Ohtani?
No, he doesn't have to.
Should he be batting ahead of Trey Turner?
I'll give you that one.
Bryce Harper?
No.
William Contreras?
Please.
Christian Yelich?
Who the hell is William Contreras? You don't even know who he is.
Well,
you don't know what team
confused.
He's on because
he plays for the Brewers. I know
his brother could show up in the game tomorrow, and you wouldn't know the difference.
No idea. They both play in an NL team, so why not?
Who's having a better year, Profar or Yelich? Easily Profar. Go ahead.
I haven't looked at Yelich in a long
Yelich
time.
Yelich is doing fine, but not Profar.
Well, okay, hold on. Christian Yelich is hitting .326 with an OPS, 11 home runs, 21 stolen bases, 41 RBIs. I think that's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. If there is an argument, even though Alec Bohm has been hitting really well this year, I think Profar could go seventh and Alec Bohm go ninth. Could
Who's
you
eighth?
Accept that?
Who's eighth?
Teoscar Hernandez.
I don't know. I just don't like... I think he's being disrespected.
But you didn't have a better spot for him in the lineup.
That's all I'm saying.
You didn't have a better spot for him
in
the lineup.
Oh, yeah, I did first. Ketel Marte taking bat ninth.
Okay.
Where he belongs.
All right, I'm going to move off this subject real quick and go to our last topic for
the Don't get me started, by the way, if Jackson Merrill only gets like one inning and no at-bats.
I will get...
And also don't get me started if Robert Suarez doesn't get to pitch in the game.
I will be with you on that because it was a couple years ago.
If those two things happen, along with Profar being dissed... You're going to get some serious complaining.
A couple years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Kirby Yates got an all-star selection, but he never got to pitch in the game, which was a bummer.
Well, first of all, in defense of the manager there on the pitching, you can't get all those pitchers in. There's 19 pitchers on the roster. There's only 9 innings in the game. So I get that, but I won't like it if it comes on top of the fact that you already stuck Profar in the 9 spot.
I'm going to go back to my first topic in the Big Five to kind of reset us real quick because we are stuck on the Jurickson Profars being disrespected.
Does anybody
right
agree with me?
Nobody? No one's saying anything.
Huh?
No one's saying anything.
I'm not eliciting any response.
All I know is that people are like, what in the world is happening with this national anthem? But here we go. If you agree with Chris and Profar is being disrespected, please, if you're in the chat, let us know. Let us know. Go search YouTube or search 97.3
The
Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, batting ninth from your San Diego Padres, easily the worst player on the All-Star team this year, Jurickson Profar.
Profar, Profar.
How does that
Profar
make you sound and feel? Not very good.
Uh-oh. Man. Everybody hates that national anthem. I'm going to have to go listen to that a little bit later.
I'm not going to listen to it if it's that bad.
Chat, was it worse than Fergie a few years ago at the NBA game? I don't the NBA All-Star game? That was
Who
great.
Sang tonight?
I'm not sure.
It wasn't.
All right. Though. I was reading a very important article detailing how many people, Chris, are windows closed people on the plane. And the articles did an informal poll on this.
Wait a minute.
Windows closed. Like if you're a window seat.
Not windows closed. Shutters closed.
Sure, shutters closed.
Everybody's windows are closed.
Shutters
Correct
closed.
Me if I'm wrong. You don't have that
you.
Option.
I can't stand you right now.
You don't have that
you
option.
You know exactly what I meant.
I did, but you didn't say that.
Unless you're flying on a Boeing plane, windows can be open sometimes.
Right.
The article did an informal poll on this, and they said that more people would keep their window shade down the whole flight rather than having it up for any period of time during the flight. Personally, I am a window shade up guy until we take off, and I look at the land around, and then when we start flying, window shade goes down, and then when we get close to landing, window shade goes up, maybe during the flight, peek outside a few times, that's about it. But what do you think, Chris?
First of all,
what kind of person are you here?
What kind of person am I? First of all, I'm a person that sits in the aisle at all costs.
Yes, I am
right?
too.
So I want to be in the aisle. There's only one reason I want to be in the aisle. Do you know what it is?
Because you have to go to the bathroom a lot?
Yes, and I'm too... I get too nervous about asking the people in my row to get up more than once. And like on a 4.5 hour flight, maybe I might have to go a second time.
Mm-hmm.
And I, a lot of times, will just be really uncomfortable because I don't want to ask. So I'd rather be on the aisle. But if I happen to be on the window, it's open for sure.
It's open.
Yeah.
It's open the whole way?
Yes,
what if people want
I
to
like
sleep?
The fresh air. I like
There's no fresh air on a plane. Remember, the thing is closed.
But I like just the feel that, it's kind of an open thing. I like the window open. Now, at night, it's not as important because there's nothing to see.
Yeah, there's nothing to see.
And you're talking about sleeping, but I like it open. I like the fresh air effect of that, even though you're right. There's no fresh air, actually.
Yes, fresh air not on a plane. It goes through lots of
I also
filtering.
Am one of those person, when I'm on the window that for like the last 40 minutes of the flight as you're coming into a city, I just get like staring out the window at every passing thing that's there.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. I'm really into that.
Stare at that for like the whole way till you land in there.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. I
like the window open. Did you say the people, more people close their window?
Yeah, some people are agreeing.
Are they afraid or is it what?
Someone said, don't sit by the window to me. Yes, window open, wear an eye mask.
Yeah.
Why do I have to wear an eye mask? It's my window.
Why do I have to close the window for you?
It's my window.
It's your window. You can close it. But I'm saying if it's not your window and it's my window, then wear an eye mask because I'm keeping mine open.
All right, I'm going to look for this.
I like light. I like let there be light.
Oh my gosh, Chris. I got to find this national anthem. Here are four tweets I just randomly saw. This anthem is awful. Thoughts and prayers to her.
Oh my goodness.
Wood said legit asking if this is a joke.
Who did?
Woods.
Woods said, with the lady, the gal singing the anthem?
Was it a joke? And then someone, Assessment Barbecue, was that anthem a bit? I got to go find this.
Who sang it?
I don't know.
Why doesn't anybody know who sang it?
I'm not sure. I'm going to go find this during the break, though. We got to now.
All I could find online is that last year was some guy from American Idol who sang the national anthem.
Good for him.
That's not who sang it tonight.
No.
All right. We'll get to the bottom of that. After traffic, there's a lot more Gwen and Chris and a lot more witty repartee, just like you heard.
What?
I don't know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting. That our flag was still there.
Okay, I can't do any more, Chris. I can't.
Coming up next on the program, Scraby is going to rake his nails across the chalkboard. Welcome back to Gwen
Poor
and Chris. That was
her.
The young lady tonight at the Home Run Derby who is drawing a lot of attention for her national anthem performance.
Do you think she suffered the same problem that Rob Manfred did?
Oh, no kidding.
Same,
she's in the same building.
Stadium.
I wonder. Same building. Remember Rob Manfred's interview with Corey Seager, the one that we make fun of endlessly?
Yes.
Took place ultimately because there is a huge delay.
Yep.
In the PA system at Globe Life Field. So when you speak into the microphone, you don't hear it for another couple of seconds. And if you've ever tried to do that, who would actually be in a position in a stadium to try it? But I am one of those people. I have tried it. I was at the old San Diego Stadium and I was doing a PA for a San Diego State baseball game. And they had this delay. like that. And it really is tough.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
That's a drunk person.
It is somebody who's waiting for his voice to catch up to him. So this young lady sings this tonight, and you heard a piece of it there. It was not great.
My goodness. Alec Boehm is out to a big old lead. 7 home runs so far.
Thank you, Scream.
Kathy would like to know, which one was worse, that one or Roseanne?
Oh, Roseanne will be the all-time just because of how she embarrassed the entire idea of the national anthem. Sorry.
Was that, was here in San Diego, right?
Of course it was. It was one of the, how shall we say, when Tom Werner, the Hollywood producer, was part owner of the Padres, he brought down the likes of a Roseanne Barr to try to drum up interest in the Padres through the celebrity angle.
Well, it did not work. I was going to say, it did not work.
Yeah. I mean, this young lady tonight, who was a, what did you, you had her name, which didn't mean much to me.
Where
but
did it go?
She was a 4-time.
Oh, it's Ingrid Andress, a 4-time Grammy nominated country singer.
Yeah. I've got to be honest with you, Scraby. I'm surprised that somebody who got nominated for 4 Grammys would be that far off key.
I would think so, too.
Unless there was some sort of problem with the PA system and the delay. Because, I mean, that was really not good.
No, it was not.
I mean, we know just from having when Tony's at Petco Park, whoever's singing the national anthem the night of the game at Petco Park sings the national anthem at like 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, they do every day.
Every day. They don't just let anyone, you know, even if you're somebody that knows what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
You still have to show that you know what you're doing before they'll let you sing before a game. And I can't believe that at the All-Star game or the Home Run Derby, they just didn't
Pete is saying on the chat that the PA sounded bad when they were introducing the players too. If I'm the people that own the Texas Stadium, I'm going to get that fixed.
It's time to get that fixed.
I mean, you're embarrassing everybody who does
everybody
over
who
the
comes
PA.
Near that PA system.
Alec Boehm off to a great start, Chris.
What'd he do?
19 home runs.
All right,
that's a lot,
isn't
it? That is in the new format that they have with only like 41 swings. 19 out of 41 is pretty good.
So, and he's the longest shot on the board to win it.
He is.
All right. Good
but
for Alec
this
Boehm.
This round is different because they're now going to reseed. So he might be the number one seed going into the next round because they reseed them for the next round. Then they have to all face each other according to what they hit in the first round.
You're trying to explain something to me that doesn't matter to me. Once again,
I almost said I hate you, but I didn't want to say it. Don't say you hate me,
because I hate the Home Run Derby. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, you.
But why can't you just play into it for one night a year?
I'm watching. It's on.
Okay.
It's right here. I'm looking up.
Fair enough.
Alec Boehm is still swinging. He's not even done.
Oh, because he got bonus rounds. So now he's got 20 home runs.
Yeah. He's been swinging for a while. So
if you were a hitter, where would you like your pitch?
Wait a minute. Is that Jorge De Los Santos pitching to him?
You mean Eniel De La Cruz?
Eniel De La Cruz. Yeah, that's what I meant. Oh, De Los Santos.
Or Eniel De Los Santos. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was Eniel De Los Santos.
Oh, poor. He's like sitting at home right now.
No,
listening.
He's not. Poor Eniel, man. He's given up a lot of home runs this year, though.
He has. And you know what I said on the Scraby Show last week that maybe you will agree with a little bit? The reason that Eniel De Los Santos is on the team is because they had to shed so much payroll, meaning they had to get rid of Scott Barlow and his $15 million salary, or $10 to $15 million salary. They're paying him like $1 million, $1.8 million or something like that.
Wow.
So it's
you're
just
getting $1.8 million worth of relief.
There
from
you
him.
Go. That's what my point was.
All right.
That's what my point was.
Who is Jim Barnes? Scraby?
Ooh, I don't know.
How about Bobby Locke?
Don't know. Oh, are these new? Are these guys being drafted by Major League Baseball?
No.
Oh,
Kerry Middlecoff. Still no.
No.
Wow.
Keep going.
You thought you were a genius when it came to the sport of golf. Those are 3 golfers who made this particular list I'm looking at. Top 25 golfers of all time in the history of the sport. I'm surprised you haven't heard of Kerry Middlecoff.
I've never heard of Kerry Middlecoff.
Yeah.
When did they play in the 1800s? Because that's a little...
No. No, Middlecoff certainly did not. I don't know. I don't want to. I don't know have all day to go through this. Number five on the list is Walter Hagen.
I've heard him.
Number four, Bobby Jones.
Heard of him.
Number three,
Tiger.
Greatest golfer of all time. Number three,
Tiger.
No,
Rory.
Number three,
Nicholas.
No,
Art Palmer.
No.
My gosh. Phil Mickelson.
Ben Hogan.
Oh.
Number two. Greatest golfer ever.
Tiger?
Yep.
They're going to put Jack Nicklaus at number one?
They are.
And he won more majors, so I can't argue it.
No. All right. We'll take a break, come back. Kirk Kenny catching us up on the off-season doings of San Diego State's football team. Information you must have when we come back to Gwynn and Chris. All right. The Home Run Derby rages on in all of its glory.
Edge of my seat right now.
I know. Can barely keep you contained. Alec Bohm hit 21 homers. Bobby Witt Jr.'s on 16 and counting. So
he turned it on in that second half of the...
They're the first two contestants.
Some of these are just
rockets. Wow!
Okay, I don't take away my shine.
Ooh.
Don't take away my shine.
Bobby Witt Jr. almost hit one out the opposite field. Which would have been kind of weird. Don't see too many guys
do
that.
Yeah, you don't see that at all.
All right, Home Run Derby continues. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in the Odyssey Palace Studios today on a day when, Tony, we only wish you were here. You could have helped save us. And maybe you could have talked me out of the fact that I'm ticked off the Jerks and Profars batting ninth.
I'm going to text Tony
in the
right
All-Star
now.
Game tomorrow.
I'm going to text Tony right now.
Are you? I'm going to tell him that Chris is like on a rampage. About Jerks and Profar batting ninth?
You know, I don't want to text him and then forget all about it and then him text us back later and be like, oh, I don't care about it anymore. But
yeah, he'd have to respond immediately. Well, look, by the time he gets asked about it, it's going to be old news.
It will be old news.
You know,
right?
You're going to be mad about this for now.
Tony, we needed you just to sit here and hum and haw with us all day.
That's like what we've been doing. Craig Elston, by the way, was nice enough to text me the fact that, remember we said the Padres had all those four-game losing streaks this year?
Yes, he texted me too.
Right.
Good stuff.
Padres have had four losing streaks of five games or more. The only other teams that can make that claim are the White Sox, the Rockies, and the Marlins, the three worst teams in baseball.
You don't want to be grouped with them.
Along with the Rangers.
Oh, those are the ones. You have one team that's
so you're
decent.
Grouped with the Rangers. That's the only saving grace on that one you have. All right, Scrape, what do we got?
Well,
Chronicles are at the top of the hour.
Yes.
Bobby Witt Jr. still up. What, does he just get to stay up all night?
No, he had bonus balls.
My goodness.
He hit 20, though.
All right, let's move on. Let's go. Next guy. Come on.
They need to let it breathe.
How much time
are they
going to take?
I mean, they got to fill almost 2 or 3 hours on TV.
Oh, they fill it all right. This thing lasts all into the night.
It does last pretty long, I got
to
say. If there was another All-Star game here in San Diego, I would be there for the Home Run Derby. You know you would be there, too.
I would not.
You're not going to go to
it. I don't like it.
I don't get it.
I don't like the Home Run Derby.
You know what? You can even play the Home Run Derby in the video game, and it's really fun.
That sounds more fun. That sounds
playing the
cool.
Home Run Derby in
yes,
the video game.
I'm actually getting to swing the imaginary bat.
You know what? Chris has been asking me for weeks now to bring in my PS5 so we can play some
video
games.
I hate to tell you,
games.
I think this would be the week to bring it in.
I think this is the week to bring it in, to be honest.
Let me take some cracks at it.
I may bring it in. Who knows? Should I bring in Lucky again?
Lucky the dog.
Lucky the dog.
Made a nice appearance last week. Better than Kylie the dog's appearance.
Lucky.
Kylie was barking and making a general nuisance
what
of herself.
What did your wife Lori say about her appearance?
She loved the picture I sent.
Oh.
That I sent to you.
Oh, I should send that out to everyone.
Yeah, the two dogs looking out the window. That was actually very cute.
Yes, it was cute.
She did not like. She did not like the fact that I didn't think Kylie's appearance went well. Lori didn't like that fact.
I mean, it's not
she
that big
thought
of a deal,
her appearance
Chris.
Should have gone well, and I said it just didn't. It wasn't, you know, anyone's fault. She just it didn't go well.
I think she was just kind of confused.
Yeah, she was a little bit
I don't
agitated.
Think it's okay. Well, you know what? It was fun.
Yeah, we had our, you know, we did all right.
I'm gonna go and tweet that picture real quick.
Oh yeah, tweet this picture. It's very, it's very good. Of the two dogs looking out the window
at Matt Scraby. M-A-T-T-S-K-R-A-B-S-M-O-R-Y.
You can see both of our dogs.
I said, here are the mascots of Gwen and Chris, Lucky and Kylie.
Enjoy that.
Yes.
Also, enjoy, after a check of traffic, our visit with the one and only Kirk Kenny. Kirk Kenny from the San Diego Union Tribune joins us. Kirk, have you heard anything other than people around this program saying that they are really excited? Is there anybody worried at all? I mean, it really seems like, you know, Sean Lewis has been a home run from day one.
I think everybody's excited. In fact, I saw him this morning. He went out and took a surfing lesson, so it was a lot of fun seeing him try and get up on the board. And just the way I've really enjoyed watching how much he's embraced being here. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always positive. He's always excited.
Well, and that's the way to certainly remain, I guess, until the season starts. Let's just finish up a look at last season. I mean, I had to go through this again. I was reminded of that Nevada game.
Why?
Well,
I don't know why, Kirk.
The reason is I wanted to see, you know, was it really as bad as everybody seems to think it was? And, you know, I think the low point, obviously, was that 6-0 game that they lost to Nevada. You know, they had some close losses in there. Utah State, Colorado State were, you know, close games. Boise State, they, you know, I thought they were going to win that game, and they end up losing by 3. So with a couple of, you know, bounces of the ball, it could have been a little better than 4-8, but people don't seem to remember that. They seem to remember it being a, you know, a real drag on the excitement level of Aztec football.
You know, it's funny, the 2 years before that, when they went 12-2, it's like they got every bounce. And then last season, they didn't get any bounce.
Yeah.
And so that's what gets you to 4-8. But, you know, you mentioned the Nevada loss. That's a really bad loss. And it's one thing not to have, you know, a 9 or 10 win season. But when you have a game where you don't even score and other games where your fans just are not entertained, that's a problem.
Yeah. No, that seemed to be the big issue last year. And so, you know, that's why let's go back now to the hiring of Sean Lewis. Now that we've had a little time to kind of think about it, what do you think it was about Sean Lewis that drew J.D. Wicker and San Diego State to him ultimately?
Offense.
That's a good thing to have in your back pocket.
All right, Kirk, we employ you on this show as a guest to have longer than one word answers.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Scraby, what's the next question for this guy?
Well, so, you know, all the stuff he brought, I mean, from people watching him at a little bit of Colorado, before that at Kent State, he, you know, offense. And what's neat is they, you know, they call it Aztec fast. And for some reason, everybody thinks passing. But they had a balanced year at Kent State a couple years back where they ran it as much as they threw it. But I think they just did things to find out what the defense was giving them. And they moved the ball around and they got it up the field and they scored touchdowns. And that's what a lot of San Diego State fans are thirsting for again.
Yeah, Kirk, we've talked about it the last few years. And it's been said to us that the offense is going to be more exciting. The offense is going to be more explosive. The offense is going to score points. And then we haven't really seen that. But it does seem like Sean Lewis is completely tearing down the offense and rebuilding it. Is there in college football any sort of like gelling period that we need to be aware of? Or have they been working on this so long they should have the offense down already?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because, and something I need to address early on in preseason camp is, you know, they came here and talking Aztec fast and generating excitement. And I said, how long does it really take for that offense to click? And a couple people have told me it takes about 4 or 5 games into the second season. And so they really have to kind of thread the needle between. They have to kind of thread the needle between generating excitement, but also kind of tamping down expectations. And so it'll be interesting to see how that kind of falls into place.
Yeah, I mean, look, Texas A&M Commerce, the first game, you know, I mean, that's one. But, I mean, it gets pretty interesting pretty quickly, right? I mean, Oregon State is legit. Cal, They're in the ACC, so they're in the ACC. That just drives me crazy. Central Michigan, okay, but you got Washington State on this schedule. You're at Wyoming. You're at Boise this year. It is fair.
UNLV.
Right, at UNLV, and they're coming off their best season in years and years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is fair to not really maybe expect them to have a ton of wins in the first season. So, you're right. That's going to be interesting how they kind of bring everybody along and keep people happy. You know, because, I mean, losing 42-40 is fun the first two or three times, but after a while, even that gets old. Just ask Tom Kraft and people like that back in the day.
Although I think they were to the point where some people in the building were like, you know what, if we lost 48-45, I think the fans would still be happy because they saw the ball thrown all over the place. And it wasn't as much about, well, you know, because the Essex had 12 straight winning seasons, and which was a school record, and people kind of became complacent, and they started complaining about the bowl games they're going to. Not, you know, before that, they probably went 25 years and went to two or three bowl games. So just getting to a bowl game was a big deal. But then, you know, like anything, people get accustomed to something and they want more.
Kirk Kenny is with us. Kirk, I'm looking at the first depth chart that came out for San Diego State football. And I know this is always, you know, subject to change between now and 6 weeks. It lists A.J. Duffy, the sophomore redshirt transfer, as the number one quarterback. Danny O'Neill, the prized freshman recruit, as the number two.
Well, wait a sec. If you look to the right on the depth chart, it says or. Capital letters.
Uh-huh.
So right now, it's still a battle.
Still very much up for grabs then between those two guys. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that's an or.
That's an or.
All right.
So you got to keep those ors in mind. And running back, it's Keenan Christian or Marquez Cooper.
And he's another transfer. Cooper is.
Yeah, and he's an interesting one. He had been with Sean Lewis at Kent State for 3 years, and he comes in as the active career rushing leader. So he'll be interesting to watch.
He's a former Golden Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Stop showing off your big brain over there.
Overall, they have 7 newcomers expected to start on offense out of 11. I think it's fair that we mention that to kind of back up what you were saying, that you're going to have to give these guys a little bit of time, right, before they start whipping people 51-7.
Well, it's crazy between with the portal the last couple of years and then the coaching change. So they started spring practice on March 12th. Between then and now, they had 30 guys leave the program. And they had, through the portal, they had like a dozen come back. And so there's just so much transition. On the two deep, they have, I think, 24 guys who were not on the team last year and 9 guys who were not on the team in the spring. So
not even
so
in the spring.
Changes.
Wow.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. But that's how it is around college football now, I think.
Well, we had Dale Sean Staley in here last week talking to us, and I asked them about the transfer portal and whether or not they think it's kind of crazy or if they like it. And he brought up a different opinion that I'd never really heard before. And he said he had to go to Northern Iowa because he wasn't recruited as heavily as he wanted. But then he felt like he was a better player than what, you know, the program of Northern Iowa would help him get to the NFL. So he went to San Diego State. Is that something you think is going to help the Aztecs, a lot of these guys that are coming that already have college experience? I mean, seems like these guys are ready to go now and play now.
Yeah, I would hope so. The biggest thing I've been kind of keeping my eye on is I believe they lost 9 starters to Power 5 teams this past year, and they brought in guys who show some promise, but maybe like they got a tight end, Jude Wolf from USC, who'd had a lot of injury issues there, but now he's healthy and he could really produce. A couple other guys maybe are from smaller schools who were producing there and want a bigger stage, and so that's what they've got. So, you know, those are the kind of guys they're going to have to find. They're not going to get guys from Power 5s who put up 1,000 yards rushing. They're going to stay at that level. What I'm getting at is, are they going to be a feeder school like a lot of the group of 5s now, or is there going to be some way where they can hang on to guys?
So you're almost saying that San Diego State could act in a way for some players like Northern Iowa acted for Dale Sean Staley.
Right. I think it's exactly. Last week at the Mountain West meetings, they called the Mountain West a pipeline conference, and a lot of the a lot of the conferences.
It's kind of offensive.
It is a bit offensive. But, I mean, you know, it's not untrue. Yeah, it's not untrue.
Can you kind of acknowledge you are who you are and be able to acknowledge that and find out how to best take advantage of that?
Boise State was picked to win this thing for the umpteenth time in a row. We know that that doesn't always happen. I mean, look, UNLV won it last year. The Aztecs have won a bunch of times. What is it about Boise State that, you know, makes them the media darling every year, Kirk?
I think they get bonus points for the blue turf.
Yeah, maybe.
That's like the tiebreaker. Well, I think that's 11 straight years they've been picked to when they've won it four of those times.
Yeah, so that's not very good.
But they, I mean, they usually have a pretty good team coming back, and sometimes it's a little bit of usual suspects being picked. And this year was really crazy because of the portal movement. There's so many new players, so I think a lot of people ended up picking on based on past performance. And
yeah,
UNLV is going to be really interesting to me. They had their best year in 30 years, but then their quarterback gets poached by Georgia, but before he gets to Georgia, USC outbids for him, so that's where he is.
I love that, outbids.
It's really, I know the Colorado State coach was upset. I'm sure you saw this, Kirk, that Kansas State, he says, offered $600,000 to his quarterback to leave and go to Kansas State. And mm-hmm. I thought, well, what's illegal about that? I mean, you can do whatever college football is such a, there's so much toothpaste all over the sink now that it doesn't seem like there's any rules anywhere on these guys.
Well, the only thing I think he might have been irritated by is that offer came before he was in the portal, not after.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well,
and so I could still see some irritation with that, but the best phrase they use, wild, wild west, and that's kind of what it is. It's just where we are has gotten ahead of the rules as far as, you know, the word I always heard him, or phrase that I always heard him using last year was guardrails, and kind of it's just out of control until they kind of think it through a little bit better. But I don't know. I mean, can you make better rules now and bring some control to it? That'll be interesting to see. You know, if and when that happens.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to ask this question, but I'm going to ask this question anyway. But I got it over the weekend, and they were talking about Coach Sean Lewis, and it was kind of sort of the conversation about feeder leagues. And if the Mountain West Conference is a feeder conference, would that apply to the head coach as well? Because this person asked me, I mean, aren't we just waiting for this guy to leave? And I said, I honestly don't know, and I hope not, but are we waiting for this guy to leave?
I think it just depends how much he enjoyed surfing today.
I hope he enjoyed it a lot, then. Did he stand up, by the way?
He did get up.
Wow.
And I got film of it. So, yeah, he had a blast doing that. And you know, those are the kind of things that maybe will help keep somebody. But yeah. Ultimately, I think a lot of these guys, like almost anybody in life, they want to test themselves against the best, and I can't blame them for maybe wanting to do that.
Well, I think the best way to do that is to go 11-1, win the conference. Maybe if they did it this year, it might be a little early, but let's just dream. 11-1, win the conference, get into the college football playoff, and then guess what? You could test yourself against the best right then and there. So
yeah,
there you go.
That would be the
put
way to do
at
it.
At the top,
Kirk. Always a pleasure. And I want to say thank you to Kirk Kenny, by the way, because he guided me around Torrey Pines on my first round there.
Oh yeah, Kirk, we haven't talked to you about that. How did Chris play? Did he play as well as he told me?
I had some moments.
He hit the first four fairways, I believe.
Wow, that's not easy on the South Course too. You guys started on what hole?
17.
That's not an easy fairway to hit.
He had kind of a Brian Downing stance there, but he kind of opened up his stance so that he could.
He's playing his slice, is what you're saying.
I was playing my slice.
He was aiming well left, and he was putting it right down the middle. I was impressed by that.
I was covering for my slice.
The problem with playing for a slice is that sometimes you just don't slice it.
When you do that, it just goes, 8 miles left. Very good.
But it worked for him. I think it wasn't until late in the round that I think he finally hit one that didn't slice. So,
yeah.
Kept it out of the canyon. That was good.
I had a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I did not keep it out of the sand traps, though. Kirk knows that. I was on the beach all day long. Kirk,
yeah.
Always
well,
a pleasure.
Luckily, They gave him some sunscreen, so he was okay.
Okay, good. Safe. You and Sean Lewis, always on the beach.
There you go. Kirk, thanks for the time, as always. Right. Great catching up to
Thank you, Kirk.
We'll talk to you as we get a little closer to this season, but thanks for the summer update.
Yep. Talk to you later, guys.
All right, Kirk Kenny. Oh, is that it?
That's it.
Wow,
he says.
You really want this hour coming up?
Yeah.
You go on it?
I'm ready.
The Scraby Chronicles?
I just reinvigorated myself.
All right. They're coming up next. The world, according to Matt Scraby, is only he can record it. The Home Run Derby just keeps on rolling, and it's just pretty much the same thing over and over again for like the next 3 hours.
Okay, your time of bashing the Derby is up. Okay.
Oh, no, tomorrow I'll come on and I'll bash the results of the Derby.
You can't. It's over.
We're back again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We can't wait. Thanks for being with us on Gwen and Chris. Kirk Kenny from the San Diego Union Tribune joins us. Kirk, have you heard anything other than people around this program saying that they are really excited? Is there anybody worried at all? I mean, it really seems like, you know, Sean Lewis has been a home run from day one.
I think everybody's excited. In fact, I saw him this morning. He went out and took a surfing lesson, so it was a lot of fun seeing him try and get up on the board. And just the way I've really enjoyed watching how much he's embraced being here. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always positive. He's always excited.
Well, yeah, and that's the way to certainly remain, I guess, until the season starts. Let's just finish up a look at last season. I mean, I had to go through this again. I was reminded of that Nevada game.
Why?
Well,
I don't know why, Kirk.
The reason is I wanted to see, you know, was it really as bad as everybody seems to think it was? And, you know, I think the low point obviously was that 6-0 game that they lost to Nevada. You know, they had some close losses in there. Utah State, Colorado State were, you know, close games. Boise State, they, you know, I thought they were going to win that game, and they end up losing by 3. So with a couple of, you know, bounces of the ball, it could have been a little better than 4-8, but people don't seem to remember that. They seem to remember it being a, you know, a real drag on the excitement level of Aztec football.
You know, it's funny, the 2 years before that, when they went 12-2, it's like they got every bounce. And then last season, they didn't get any bounce.
Yeah.
And so that's what gets you to 4-8. But, you know, you mentioned the Nevada loss. That's a really bad loss. And it's one thing not to have, you know, a 9 or 10-win season. But when you have a game where you don't even score and other games where your fans just are not entertained, that's a problem.
Yeah. No, that seemed to be the big issue last year. And so, you know, that's why let's go back now to the hiring of Sean Lewis. Now that we've had a little time to kind of think about it, what do you think it was about Sean Lewis that drew J.D. Wicker and San Diego State to him ultimately?
Offense.
That's a good thing to have in your back pocket.
All right, Kirk, we employ you on this show as a guest to have longer than one word answers.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Scraby, what's the next question for this guy?
Well, so, you know, all the stuff he brought, I mean, from people watching him at a little bit of Colorado, before that at Kent State, he, you know, offense. And what's neat is they, you know, they call it Aztec fast. And for some reason, everybody thinks passing. But they had a balanced year at Kent State a couple years back where they ran it as much as they threw it. But I think they just did things to find out what the defense was giving them. And they moved the ball around and they got it up the field and they scored touchdowns. And that's what a lot of the San Diego State fans are thirsting for again.
Yeah, Kirk, we've talked about it the last few years. And it's been said to us that the offense is going to be more exciting. The offense is going to be more explosive. The offense is going to score points. And then we haven't really seen that. But it does seem like Sean Lewis is completely tearing down the offense and rebuilding it. Is there in college football any sort of like gelling period that we need to be aware of? Or have they been working on this so long they should have the offense down already?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because, and something I need to address early on in preseason camp is, you know, they came here and talking Aztec fast and generating excitement. And I said, how long does it really take for that offense to click? And a couple people have told me it takes about 4 or 5 games into the second season. And so they really have to kind of thread the needle
what?
Between, yeah, Well, yeah, they have to kind of thread the needle between generating excitement, but also kind of tamping down expectations. And so it'll be interesting to see how that kind of falls into place.
Yeah, I mean, look, Texas A&M Commerce, the first game, you know, I mean, that's one. But, I mean, it gets pretty interesting pretty quickly, right? I mean, Oregon State is legit. Cal, they're in the ACC, so they're in the ACC. That just drives me crazy. Central Michigan, okay, but you got Washington State on this schedule. You're at Wyoming. You're at Boise this year. It is fair.
UNLV.
Right, at UNLV, and they're coming off their best season in years and years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is fair to not really maybe expect them to have a ton of wins in the first season. So, you're right. That's going to be interesting how they kind of bring everybody along and keep people happy. You know, because, I mean, losing 42-40 is fun the first two or three times, but after a while, even that gets old. Just ask Tom Kraft and people like that back in the day.
Although I think they were to the point where some people in the building were like, you know what, if we lost 48-45, I think the fans would still be happy because they saw the ball thrown all over the place. And it wasn't as much about, well, you know, because the Aztecs had 12 straight winning seasons, and which was a school record, and people kind of became complacent, and they started complaining about the bowl games they're going to. Not, you know, before that, they probably went 25 years and went to two or three bowl games. So just getting to a bowl game was a big deal. But then, you know, like anything, people get accustomed to something and they want more.
Kirk Kenny is with us. Kirk, I'm looking at the first depth chart that came out for San Diego State football. And I know this is always, you know, subject to change between now and 6 weeks. It lists A.J. Duffy, the sophomore redshirt transfer, as the number one quarterback. Danny O'Neill, the prized freshman recruit, as the number two.
Well, wait a sec. If you look to the right on the depth chart, it says or. Capital letters.
Uh-huh.
So right now, it's still a battle.
Still very much up for grabs then between those two guys. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that's an or.
That's an or.
All right.
So you got to keep those ors in mind. And running back, it's Keenan Christian or Marquez Cooper.
And he's another transfer. Cooper is.
Yeah, and he's an interesting one. He had been with Sean Lewis at Kent State for 3 years, and he comes in as the active career rushing leader. So he'll be interesting to watch.
He's a former Golden Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Stop showing off your big brain over there.
Overall, they have 7 newcomers expected to start on offense out of 11. I think it's fair that we mention that to kind of back up what you were saying, that you're going to have to give these guys a little bit of time, right, before they start whipping people 51-7.
Well, it's crazy between with the portal the last couple of years and then the coaching change. So they started spring practice on March 12th. Between then and now, they had 30 guys leave the program. And they had, through the portal, they had like a dozen come back. And so there's just so much transition. On the two deep, they have, I think, 24 guys who were not on the team last year and 9 guys who were not on the team in the spring. So
not even
so
in the spring.
Changes.
Wow.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. But that's how it is around college football now, I think.
Well, we had Dale Sean Staley in here last week talking to us, and I asked them about the transfer portal and whether or not they think it's kind of crazy or if they like it. And he brought up a different opinion that I'd never really heard before. And he said he had to go to Northern Iowa because he wasn't recruited as heavily as he wanted. But then he felt like he was a better player than what, you know, the program of Northern Iowa would help him get to the NFL. So he went to San Diego State. Is that something you think is going to help the Aztecs, a lot of these guys that are coming that already have college experience? I mean, seems like these guys are ready to go now and play now.
Yeah, I would hope so. The biggest thing I've been kind of keeping my eye on is I believe they lost 9 starters to Power 5 teams this past year, and they brought in guys who show some promise, but maybe like they got a tight end, Jude Wolf from USC, who'd had a lot of injury issues there, but now he's healthy and he could really produce. A couple other guys maybe are from smaller schools who were producing there and want a bigger stage, and so that's what they've got. So, you know, those are the kind of guys they're going to have to find. They're not going to get guys from Power 5s who put up 1,000 yards rushing. They're going to stay at that level. What I'm getting at is, are they going to be a feeder school like a lot of the group of fives now, or is there going to be some way where they can hang on to guys?
So you're almost saying that San Diego State could act in a way for some players like Northern Iowa acted for Dale Sean Staley.
Right. I think it's exactly. Last week at the Mountain West meetings, they called the Mountain West a pipeline conference, and a lot of the conferences.
It's kind of offensive.
It is a bit offensive, but I mean, you know, it's not untrue.
But can you kind of acknowledge you are who you are and be able to acknowledge that and find out how to best take advantage of that?
Boise State was picked to win this thing for the umpteenth time in a row. We know that doesn't always happen. I mean, look, UNLV won it last year. The Aztecs have won a bunch of times. What is it about Boise State that, you know, makes them the media darling every year, Kirk?
I think they get bonus points for the blue turf.
Yeah, maybe.
That's like the tiebreaker. Well, I think that's 11 straight years they've been picked to when they've won it four of those times.
So that's not very good.
But they usually have a pretty good team coming back, and sometimes it's a little bit of usual suspects being picked. And this year was really crazy because of the portal movement. There's so many new players, so I think a lot of people ended up picking on based on past performance. And UNLV's going to be really interesting to me. They had their best year in 30 years, but then their quarterback gets poached by Georgia, but before he gets to Georgia, USC outbids for him, so that's where he is.
I love that, outbids.
It's really, it's. I know the Colorado State coach was upset. I'm sure you saw this, Kirk, that Kansas State, he says, offered $600,000 to his quarterback to leave and go to Kansas State. And mm-hmm. I thought, well, what's illegal about that? I mean, you can do whatever college football is such a, there's so much toothpaste all over the sink now that it doesn't seem like there's any rules anywhere on these guys.
Well, the only thing I think he might have been irritated by is that offer came before he was in the portal, not after.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well,
and so I could still see some irritation with that, but the best phrase they use, wild, wild west, and that's kind of what it is. It's just where we are has gotten ahead of the rules as far as, you know, the word I always heard him, or phrase that I always heard him using last year was guardrails, and kind of it's just out of control until they kind of think it through a little bit better. But I don't know. I mean, can you make better rules now and bring some control to it? That'll be interesting to see. You know, if and when that happens.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to ask this question, but I'm going to ask this question anyway. But I got it over the weekend, and they were talking about Coach Sean Lewis, and it was kind of sort of the conversation about feeder leagues. And if the Mountain West Conference is a feeder conference, would that apply to the head coach as well? Because this person asked me, I mean, aren't we just waiting for this guy to leave? And I said, I honestly don't know, and I hope not, but are we waiting for this guy to leave?
I think it just depends how much he enjoyed surfing today.
I hope he enjoyed it a lot, then. Did he stand up, by the way?
He did get up,
wow.
And I got film of it. He had a blast doing that. And you know, those are the kind of things that maybe will help keep somebody. But ultimately, I think a lot of these guys, like almost anybody in life, they want to test themselves against the best, and I can't blame them for maybe wanting to do that.
Well, I think the best way to do that is to go 11-1, win the conference. Maybe if they did it this year, it might be a little early, but let's just dream. 11-1, win the conference, get into the college football playoff, and then guess what? You could test yourself against the best right then and there. So
yeah,
there you go.
That would be the way
to
do it.
At the top,
Kirk. Always a pleasure. And I want to say thank you to Kirk Kenny, by the way, because he, you know, he guided me around Torrey Pines on my first round there.
Oh yeah, Kirk, we haven't talked to you about that. How did Chris play? Did he play as well as he told me?
I had some moments.
He hit the first four fairways, I believe.
Wow, that's not easy on the South Course too. You guys started on what hole?
17.
That's not an easy fairway to hit.
He had kind of a Brian Downing stance there, but he kind of opened up his stance so that he could.
He's playing his slice,
Playing my slice.
He was aiming well left, and he was putting it right down the middle. I was impressed by that.
I was covering for my slice.
The problem with playing for a slice is that sometimes you just don't slice it.
No, when you do that, it just goes, 8 miles left. Very good.
But it worked for him, I think. It wasn't until late in the round that I think he finally hit one that didn't slice. So,
yeah.
Kept it out of the canyon. That was good.
I had a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I did not keep it out of the sand traps, though. Kirk knows that. I was on the beach all day long. Kirk,
yeah,
always
well, luckily, they gave him some sunscreen, so he was okay.
Okay,
was
good. Safe. You and Sean Lewis, always on the beach.
There you go. Kirk, thanks for the time, as always. Right. Great catching up to
Thank
you.
Thank you, Kirk.
We'll talk to you as we get a little closer to this season, but thanks for the summer update.
Yep. Talk to you later, guys.
All right, Kirk Kenny. Oh, is that it?
That's it.
Wow,
he says.
You really want this hour coming up?
Yeah.
You go on it?
I'm ready.
The Scraby Chronicles?
I just reinvigorated myself.
All right. They're coming up next. The world, according to Matt Scraby, is only he can record it. The Home Run Derby just keeps on rolling, and it's just pretty much the same thing over and over again for like the next 3 hours.
Okay, your time of bashing the Derby is up. Okay.
Oh, no, tomorrow I'll come on and I'll bash
you
the results of the Derby.
You can't. It's over.
We're back again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We can't wait. Thanks for being with us on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.